We've begun this series called Divine Direction, and we've been looking kind of in the background at this book written by Pastor Craig Rochelle, and it's called Divine Direction. And in it, he asks seven questions that kind of help you determine maybe what God is leading you to and what God's will for your life is. And we've pulled out a few of those because we feel like this is something good that God's speaking to us. How do we start our 2018 year on the right foot so that come December 31st and we look back on all that we've done and all that we have seen in God, we can write a story worth reading, a New York Times bestseller story of our life. One of the things that he says in his book, he says, the decisions you make today will shape the story you tell tomorrow. So we want to learn how to make good decisions now, spiritually and emotionally and physically, so that we are writing the right story, the story we want to be able to pass on to our children and their children, a legacy of faith and a life well lived. So what we learned the first week is that God cares more about the who before the do. He wants to make sure that we are becoming who we're supposed to be becoming, more so than he's worried about what we're going to do for a job or do for a career. He also wants us to focus on the why before the what. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? What are our motives? It's not about doing good things. It's about doing the right things with the right purpose. Then last week, we learned that wisdom comes from God when we walk with people who are living out their faith, when we ask God to give us his wisdom, and then when we make the decision to step out in faith and use what we have. When we have those three things in line, the wisdom of God leads us into our decisions. We'll make the right decisions. But if you've been seeking divine direction the last few weeks, if you've been praying and saying, God, show me what you have for me, you might find yourself in kind of an uncomfortable place today. You may find yourself at this point saying, hey, God's been showing me some stuff in my spirit. God's been speaking into my heart, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know what it is he's leading me to. I don't know what to do with this information. I feel like I'm getting divine direction, but I'm kind of stuck. I don't know what's going on. And the message that God has for us today is simply this. He wants us to understand this. Trust the process. Trust the process. Trust that he is at work in your life. Trust that he is transforming your life. And trust that even though sometimes you go through uncomfortable patches, he is at work making your paths straight. And that doesn't come easy. And we're not always going to have all the answers. But we have to learn to trust the process. This past week, I know, go figure, I was hunting ducks. I know, some of you who are normal here are like, wow, that's a new thing for you, right? No. I was hunting ducks in Mississippi, and we got there. It was a man and his son had asked for me to take them over there, and I tried to talk them out of it because there was a little ice storm and cold temperatures. And so we got to Mississippi, and ice was 4.5 inches thick where we were supposed to hunt. I'm a big man. I can't break 4.5 inches worth of ice just by standing on it. I know it's hard for you to believe, right? It's real. I tried. So the gentleman, he couldn't get out and help us break ice, so I took his son, who had never done this before, and I'm trying to tell him the concept. We want to open a hole in the ice here for ducks to land, and in order to do that, I want you to bust a hole in the ice over there. Have you ever seen a puppy look at you and cock his head when he doesn't really understand what you're saying? This young man cocked his head like, if we want a hole here, why are you making me work over there? And I'm trying to hurry, and I'm out of shape, and I'm out of breath, and I'm stuck in mud and ice up to my waist going, what in the world am I doing here today? And I couldn't explain it to him. I was like, I'm from Tennessee. You're from Alabama. I'm old. You're young. Trust me, break ice over there. The purpose was, the way the wind was blowing, if we broke a hole there, then the ice that I was breaking here would flow over there and we'd have an open hole. We're letting Mother Nature do the work. That's the way it goes. I didn't have time to explain all that to him. And so begrudgingly, probably saying things about Pastor Scott, this new guy he just met, under his breath. He goes over here and he starts working to break a hole going, whatever. We need to trust the process. I needed Andrew to trust the process. I knew what was going to happen. I knew it was going to work better. I just needed him to trust me. I didn't have time to explain. Sometimes in our spiritual life, we don't need to know what's going to happen. We don't need to know exactly how it's going to turn out. We just need to trust the process. We need to go where the Holy Spirit tells us to go. And we need to trust that God is with us. And today, God's going to show us that. We need to trust that in the process of transforming our life, we're in good hands. Right? We're in good hands. The one that we've asked to transform our life in 2018 is the one who created this life. is the one who knows how life can turn out, is the one who knows what's around the corner for us tomorrow. We don't know. We don't know when calamity is coming. We don't know when sickness is coming. We don't know when blessings are coming. He does. And the one who is the author of our life is saying, if you will give me your life in the shape it was 2017, and you will trust the process, I will transform that life. We need to rest to understand that we're in good hands. Andrew didn't know me from anyone else. And I told him to go bust a hole in the ice. And he went. He may not have gone with a smile on his face, but he went. Let me tell you something. God would be okay if some of you went with a frown on your face if you would just go and trust Him, okay? He will get over the things you're saying under your breath if you would just take that step. That's where He wants you to be. We need to learn to trust the process. There are four steps to understand and trust this process. And for that, we're going to look at Paul's life a little bit. So if you have Scripture on your Bible, in your Bible or on your app, you want to turn to Acts chapter 20. And I'm going to begin reading Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 34. Oh, and by the way, if you were paying attention closely last week, I said I was going to go to Proverbs 20:13, and then I read a passage from Scripture that even confused me. I worked hard to get the pages open, and then I read Proverbs 13:13 and went, well, that's not at all what I'm supposed to be talking about. So if you were there going, my version's different, what? My wife is an NIV person, I'm an ESV person. We always talk about the differences in translation, and she went, your ESV was way off this morning. That was user error. But today we are in Acts 20, 22. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I also want to read to you from a book called The Message. The Message is, it's not a Bible. It is it's a translation of Scripture. It's the Bible translated by a man named Eugene Peterson to help people be able to read it a little easier. And sometimes the way he puts things in The Message really makes verses jump off the page. And so I want to read those same verses, Acts 20, 22 through 24, through this translation. But there is another urgency before me now. I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem. I'm completely in the dark about what will happen when I get there. I do know that it won't be any picnic. For the Holy Spirit has let me know repeatedly and clearly that there are hard times and imprisonment ahead. But that matters little. What matters most to me is to finish what God started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone I meet know all about this incredibly extravagant generosity of God. I love that last part. Not just the gospel, not just the grace, but that extravagant generosity of God. Paul was in the same place many of you were, many of you are, and I'm in, where he was asking for divine direction. And what he got didn't really fit into his plan, into his storyboard. But he has some great response that we can look at and learn from and apply to our own lives. You see, Paul was comfortable in Ephesus. He was comfortable where he was. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but in your heart, ask yourself, are you comfortable with where you are? Do you feel like everything's just kind of moving in a good way and you're just comfortable? Maybe not exceedingly joyful, but you're just, I kind of like the things in my life that are broken because I know they're broken. I kind of like the good things I do. I kind of like my position in church. I kind of like the way my family's moving right now. I'm just kind of comfortable. Well, Paul was comfortable. He had everything that he needed right where he was. Things were going good for him, but there was something in there that wasn't just exactly right. And he was praying, God, show me what that is. And when he received direction from the Holy Spirit, it wasn't what he thought he needed. And it wasn't what he wanted. He said, there's an urgency now. I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem. I feel compelled to leave my place of comfort. Church, we need to feel compelled to leave our place of comfort way more often. We need to feel compelled to leave this place and go out and do ministry. We need to be compelled to leave our life of only receiving Scripture on Sunday morning and enter into seeking Scripture every day of our life. We need to get out of our comfort zone, just like Paul was called. And the thing is, if you read Scripture and believe Scripture, the Holy Spirit is calling you out of your comfort zone every time you open those pages. The direction he received isn't what he thought he wanted or needed. And many times when we say, God, show me what you have for me, an answer comes back and we're like, well, that's not for me. That's someone else's message, right? It's not always what we want, not always what we need. But the first step that Paul took is a step that we need to understand. And it's these words, Deo ho pneuma. You want to say that? Deo ho pneuma. Deo. This is Greek, by the way. Deo means to wrap or to bind. Pneuma is the spirit or breeze. And so what that means, Deo ho pneuma, means bound by the spirit. Paul writes that he was compelled by the spirit to go to Jerusalem. He was bound. The spirit spoke, and Paul knew that he had to follow, that he had to answer, that he had to obey. We miss that sometimes because the spirit, the pneuma of God, speaks. And we are willing to say, Holy Spirit, Holy Pneuma, you are welcome in this place. And we hear you speak and we feel you move. But we don't want Deo. We don't want to be bound by the Spirit because that scares us. Instead, we just want to be comfortable in the Spirit. We want to talk about the Spirit, but we don't want to follow. Paul was bound by the Spirit. The Spirit spoke, Paul answered, and he followed. And that's the first step for us to understand divine direction in our life and where do we go from here. Trusting this process is we have to be bound by the Spirit. The transformation of your life is not going to be by happenstance. You have to trust where God leads you. I've had encounters with Deo pneuma. You're going to have these too. If you're like me, and one of the things in 2018 you're looking at is you want to have better physical appearance, better physical shape. If you want to lose weight, let's boil this down to real talk. If you're tired of being fat, and in 2018 you said, I'm not going to be fat anymore, you are going to have Deo ho pneuma moments, and they're going to happen in a drive-thru, right? Because you are so used to, I'm hungry, you pull into McDonald's, and there is a menu of goodness right there before you, right? None of it is healthy. There's salads on there somewhere. I've never found them. I never read that far down. But they're somewhere on there. So you're in that drive-thru and you're going through the motion and suddenly the Holy Spirit is just going to prick your mind, prick your heart and just say, is this really what you need to eat today? And at that moment, you can choose to be bound by the Spirit and search that menu for water and a salad, which is on there somewhere. Or you can ignore the Spirit and say, I want the quadruple quarter pounder with a gallon of fries and a keg of Coke, right? Extra value meal, supersized. And when you choose not to be bound by that Spirit speaking to you, guess what? When you go to the scales at the end of that week, the numbers aren't going to be going in the direction you want them to go in because it doesn't work that way. You didn't listen. I've had other encounters. The night that the Spirit spoke to me and said, this is the woman that I have for you to marry, which happened to be on our first date. Kind of a big deal, right? I didn't ask her that night. I wasn't bound by the Spirit at that moment. When God called Sarah and I out of the non-denominational church and said, I want you to go and serve in the United Methodist Church. And I said, well, okay, that'll work. And Sarah said, that's not God. That is not the Spirit. You are wrong. Ask again, right? Because this is an Assembly of God girl going to a non-denominational was comfortable. She was comfortable in Ephesus. And now God was calling her into the Methodist church of which she knew very, very little. And the funniest story is the first time that we were there and they did the Apostles' Creed. She said, why are they singing Rich Mullins' song? That's not a Rich Mullins song, baby. That's an ancient creed. She said, well, I've only heard Rich Mullins singing on the radio. It's different for her. And I remember the time that I said to God, has felt His Spirit calling me to soften my heart towards having children because I was a youth pastor. I did not want to bring any more into this world, right? Sarah wanted a family. And God had sent Sarah to me and I said, God, this was in my exact surrender prayer to Him. And I said the same thing to Sarah. God, if you give us children, it's not going to be the end of the world for me. That was me giving up, right? It was not, I wasn't being big and spiritual, going, God, thank you for softening my heart. Send me children. I was just like, it's not going to be the worst thing in the world, I guess. 8 weeks later, we had an announcement that we were pregnant. God works quickly sometimes before you can have a chance to change your mind. Those were encounters. I didn't always handle them right. There are probably hundreds more in which I didn't even realize that God was speaking to me. But on those bottom three, let me tell you what turned out. God took me to a place that was uncomfortable, and he didn't tell me how it was going to end. Sarah is not a country girl. Sarah's not going to live in the country and cook for me. She's not going to help clean the animals, right? She's a city girl. I don't know anything about the city. On paper, this really shouldn't have worked. Lots of differences. But in Christ, it's been perfect so far. Not smooth perfect, but it's been good perfect, right? When God called us to the Methodist Church, we had no idea what he was doing with our lives. But now we can go on Facebook and we can see a long list of people that he has used us to touch in some way or form. And so many people that he has used in the Methodist Church to touch us and shape our faith. And then we had kids. And it's good. It's a good thing too. When we trust God, when we are bound by the Spirit, blessings await us. When we rebel against the Spirit, we walk into the curse of man. Deo honuma needs to be words we live by. Like Paul, when the Spirit speaks, we follow and we trust the process. Not that we know all the steps, but we trust the process. Paul goes on to say, the Spirit's compelled me to go to Jerusalem. I'm completely in the dark about what happens next. Have you ever started something with God and not had a clue what you were doing? Anyone? Yeah. We step out and we say, God, I know you're asking me to do this, and so I'm going to volunteer to teach this class, this Sunday school class, but I don't have a clue what's going to happen. And when you do that, what usually happens? It's one of the most enjoyable classes, and people say, you are the best teacher I've ever had. It's not because of you. It's because of you, the Spirit inside of you that you obeyed. I'm completely in the dark about what happens next. When we step into following Christ, we need to embrace uncertainty. We need to embrace uncertainty because it's going to come. And here's the thing. We want to know how the story ends, don't we? I want to know how the story ends. God, if you're calling me to marry this woman, I want to know, is she going to make money? Right? I don't know. Is there anyone in her family that owns land in the country so I can have a farm? Is there anything good going to come of this? I want to know how this is going to end. Is this going to be forever? God, if I say I'm going to lose weight and I get on a diet for a couple of days, am I going to see a weight loss at the end of the week? Is this going to work? We want to know how the story ends. God, if you're calling me to Jerusalem, tell me what's going to happen there. God didn't tell Paul. And God's not going to tell you. There's truth. Not fun truth. But truth. The reason why is we can't handle the knowledge of how the story ends. You and I cannot handle the knowledge of how the story ends, because if we knew that that story is going to go for a long time full of joy, and then there's going to be a burp here, and it's going to be hard, and there's going to be pain and heartache, what will we do? We'll find a road to go around that pain and heartache, won't we? But if you've ever gone through pain and heartache, where do you grow most? Where do you learn who God really is? It's not on the good days. It's on the bad days. We would miss our growth in Christ if it were up to us. If we knew how the story ends, we would skip the hard parts and we would never know fully how much God loves us. And so God doesn't tell us how the story is going to end. He doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. Psalm 119:105. We sang these words today earlier. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. We want this huge spotlight that's going to illuminate the entire road from beginning to end. And God says, you can't handle that, but I'm going to give you a super bright flashlight where you can see the next step and just the next step. He does that because he wants us to learn to trust him. Trust him and trust the process. We need to expect things are not going to be certain. We need to understand that it's not going to be to where we know the whole story. But God promises that we will have the next step. And God is faithful. And God will deliver. We need just the next step so that we will still need him and not nix him. So that we won't go around him. But here's the promises that he will make to us. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never be away from us. On the darkest days, our God is still there, and He is still strong, and He is still supporting us and guiding us and loving us and pouring His grace out on us. So we trust Him, and we lean on Him, and we walk headfirst into the uncertainty of life with Him. And that last part is what separates disciples of Christ who know the joy of the Lord and the world who suffers anguish. Is that they have to walk through the uncertainty of life as well, but they don't walk with Him. Followers of Christ do. And they're comforted. And they're secured. So step three, predictable resistance. If you are looking to transform your life and to do better things for Christ and in Christ, there is going to be resistance along the way. Paul writes, "The Spirit has compelled me to go. I don't know why, but this I do know." First of all, let me tell you, before we read any more, the Holy Spirit is not a very good travel agent, right? Because the Holy Spirit said, "Paul, I want you to go here. I'm not going to tell you exactly how it's going to turn out, but here's what I am going to tell you about your vacation destination. It isn't going to be easy. In fact, there'll be hard times and imprisonment." There's going to be hard times and imprisonment. And Paul said, "Sign me up. I'll go." When you step out in faith to follow Christ, you will find resistance. When you're doing the right things, you are dangerous to the enemy. And the enemy will not leave you alone. If you're a threat to the enemy's kingdom, he will attack and try to destroy you. But most of us will say something like this. We'll do something for God and it won't work out, or we'll hit a hard place along the road and we'll say, "I guess God wasn't in this after all." That's a quote that I give to weak Christians. Let me tell you something. I have said that. I have said that on diets before. Like after 2 days, and I couldn't say no to chocolate cake, well, I guess God didn't want me to lose weight. God likes me fluffy. I've used that excuse. I've used it in joking, but in reality, that's really how my heart felt. God likes me fluffy. I guess God wasn't in this after all. When we hit a hard point, we just jump ship and we give up and we say, "God must not be in this." But I want to tell you what truth says. I'm going to tell you what God's really saying. If your life isn't being met with resistance, you need to question who you're really living for. Because if you're living for Jesus Christ, the enemy is against you. And you will meet resistance. If you're not meeting resistance anywhere in your life, you need to question what you're doing with your life. Because you're not a threat to Him if He's leaving you alone. We need to expect resistance. And we need to hit that resistance head on, knowing that we walk with the most powerful being ever imagined. And because of that, we are undefeatable. We will not lose. Paul goes on and writes, says, "None of this really matters. What matters most is that I finish what God started in me, that I run the race, that I live a life that matters for His glory." Paul was focused on living for Him. Paul had uncommon confidence. He had uncommon confidence in God. We speak a lot of times like we have confidence in God. We say that we believe things. So many times when it gets difficult for us, we step out and we question our faith and we question our God. This uncommon confidence that Paul's talking about here is going to shine in the world because we're putting confidence in God, something that we can't see. But I'm going to tell you, if you truly step out and follow the Spirit, if you truly step out and allow God to transform your life, your uncommon confidence will show inside the church because you will be different than the people sitting around you right now. You will have a strength and a courage that most of us don't have. We want a safety net, don't we? We want a backup plan. When I was entering into ministry, I had to finish my undergrad school. And so I signed up to go back to school at University of Tennessee at Martin. And people said, "Hey, what are you going to major in?" And I said, "Well, from here, I'm going to seminary. So all I need is a bachelor's degree in anything. I'm going to take a Bachelor of University Studies. That way I can just take whatever classes I want to," right? I took easy stuff. I took a lot of stuff about natural resources and history and easy courses. Just, I need an undergrad. I don't need to focus on anything. And people said, "Oh, you are called to ministry. We feel that God has anointed you for ministry. We know that is His plan for your life. But we really think it'd be wise if you choose to major in something in case this whole ministry thing doesn't work out." Well, thanks for that confidence, right? We feel you're called, but you might want to, you know, major in something else just in case. That's how we operate. That's how we act. That's how we approach life. We want a parachute, a backup plan, a safety net. Faith does not need a backup plan. If we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, if we believe that He is our strength, we do not need a backup plan. He is our only source of strength. He is who we rely on. He is who we trust. He is who we follow. There is no option B. If there's an option B, we are not people of faith. We are fake. We want a safety net and a backup plan. What we really need is God to be our plan, our one and only. Paul had this confidence. He was confident that God would give him one step at a time. Paul was confident that God had a plan for his life, and Paul was confident that God's promises were true. Do you believe those things? Do you believe that God will give you your next step, that God will tell you what you need to know when you need to know it? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Just like Scripture tells us, do you understand and believe that God's promises are true? If so, you don't need a backup plan. You need to have confidence in your Lord to see you through, to be all that you need, to give you the next step, to trust, to know that He is going to deliver you. Paul signed up to go to Jerusalem and share the gospel. Paul signed up saying, the Holy Spirit has said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and there I'll share the gospel. And it's going to be hard and I'll be thrown in prison. Paul could buy that package, right? What did God do when Paul became obedient? He didn't tell Paul this. But along the way, Holy Spirit would give him options, opportunities rather. Write this church a letter. Write that person a letter. Influence this person. Influence that group of people. The next thing you know, all of those letters are combined and they're put into a book called the New Testament of the Bible. You may be familiar with that a little bit, right? God took Paul, who said, I'll go to Jerusalem and share the gospel. And instead, he used him to write over half of the New Testament in our Bible. And then, in essence, what Paul did is Paul shared the gospel not in Jerusalem, but over the entire world. Do you know that the things that he said about Jesus Christ are now being shared in almost every language on the planet? When we give our lives over to God and God shows us a small step and we say, I will take that step, God is not satisfied with that step. Because when you take that step, God says, here is where I'm taking you. And it is much bigger than anything you can imagine. We just have to trust the process. Paul trusted. He took one step and God used him to the fullness of His glory. What does God have for you? What does God have for me? I don't have a clue. I just know my next step. You want a better life in 2018? You want to be in a better place spiritually or physically or emotionally? Let me tell you something. God wants those things for you too, okay? God wants to bless His children. He doesn't want you to struggle through 2018 the same way you struggled through 2017. He wants you to have a better life. But you're not going to know how it's going to turn out. And it's not going to be easy. And it's not going to be quick. Because transforming a life doesn't happen overnight. These are the promises. And here's how we get through it. We choose to be bound to the Spirit, Deo Honuma. We embrace the uncertainty that's coming and trust that God's there all along. We expect resistance from the enemy, not as a sign that we have failed, but as a sign that we are achieving success. And we place an uncommon confidence in our Father, that He is big enough to see us through all the challenges, that He is strong enough to see us through the darkest days. We trust the process. This is how we seek and live out divine direction. We trust the process. And a part of trusting the process is trusting the processor. God is in control. Amen? We're not in control. If you ever try to control your life, even for a week, you will fail miserably. It will blow up all around you. God is in control of our lives. Let Him be in control. Trust Him. He will give you direction. He will deliver you through the dark times. And He will bless your life. This applies to salvation. If you don't know where you're going to spend eternity in heaven, you need to trust the process and know that the Holy Spirit may be calling you today to give your life over to Him. And if He is, you need to answer and you need to follow through. Because in the end, God has a blessing for you. It's called eternal life. It's called presence with His Son and the Spirit. Maybe you need healing. You need to trust the process. God sometimes heals instantaneously over a phone call. And sometimes God heals through doctors and medicine. And sometimes God heals through all kinds of other means. You need to trust the process. If you've prayed for healing and you said, God, will you please heal me? Know that He is. And trust that process. Finances. Sometimes when we open up our finances and we say, God, we're not going to be able to make it through this year. And God says, well, I want you to give me some money. I want you to tithe. I want you to have an option of faith. I want you to give a little bit of what I've given you back. And I want you to see how I bless you. That's in Scripture. I'll open up the doors of heaven and I'll bless you. He wants to try you and see if your faith is true. Well, that's the opposite of what we understand, right? God, I came to you and I said, I'm struggling financially. And you said, you want me to add something else to my list of bills? Trust the process. And if you've ever been in that process before and you've taken that step, you know what happens on the other side. I can't explain it, you can't explain it, but somehow the numbers on paper that don't add up always end up having money in your account. It's the craziest thing. Scripture's true, I know. God's promises are real. Your career, is it time to move? Is it time to switch? God knows what's ahead. Is your family falling apart? God knows how to heal it. Is your marriage on the rocks? God knows how to bring you back together. But you have to trust the process. Follow the Spirit. Expect resistance, but trust the process, because God is at work in you, and God is at work through you. And here's the thing that we need to be reminded of today. God is at work for you. Amen? He wants the things that you want for your life. Trust the process. So when we sing songs that say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, what we're saying in the prayer is, God, let me be Deo Honuma, bound by the Spirit. And so when we leave this place today, let that be our prayer. Let that be our prayer. In fact, let's say those words right now. Deo Honuma. Bound by the Spirit. Let's pray together.